This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Free Left in here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Good morning, Mick.
G'day, Craig. How's it going?
Not too bad. It's only the two of us.
A bit of an echo in the studio today.
Yeah, the two of us.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Tony Hatch and Jackie Trent song.
Yeah. That's going back, 60s.
Yeah, that's a long time ago now.
Yeah.
Now, one of the people call us old-timers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speak for yourself. Somebody else, speak for yourself. Yeah.
So you had a good week?
Yeah, I think I had more of an interesting week than and it wasn't quite what I call a normal week of dealing with clients, because we had an opportunity, because I was invited or asked if I could go with somebody else to a event run, because it was World Refugee Week.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it was, and today is World Refugee Day, and they're holding an event down at the Farley on Seddon Road,
mm-hmm.
Between 1 and 4. And they said it's free, and it's welcome to everybody to go there and have a look.
Yeah, because they reckon an estimated 120 million displaced people on the planet.
Yeah, we were actually asked. There was questions that the presenters asked the audience on Thursday, approximately how many refugees are there worldwide, and the number that they, I don't know how old the figures were, but they used something close to what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's going up.
Yeah, 115 million.
Yeah, well, when I heard was 120,
so,
but the numbers are going up.
Yeah,
either through war, environment, or economics, or.
And it was interesting, they asked a question, where are the biggest concentration of refugees, where are they actually are, you know, in the world?
Yeah.
And just name a few countries, and people rattled off all sorts of countries. And
well, must there be a few on the African continent, North Africa, Asia?
Yeah, the countries that came to mind, where there were a lot, Turkey, because of the Syrian.
Oh, Syrian, yeah.
Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
Due to, I think, people being forced out of Venezuela, mainly due to, I would say, US sanctions.
Yeah.
And probably the government. Germany was mentioned.
Oh, yeah, because they've taken a lot, yeah.
Lebanon,
mm-hmm.
because of Palestine.
And Jordan, I suppose, would be.
Yeah, that wasn't even mentioned. Pakistan,
mm-hmm.
I think that's to do with Afghanistan.
Yep.
And Iran, I think, for the same reason.
And in Pakistan, they're reversing, they're sending people back.
Yeah, and Uganda.
Yeah.
Because Zaire. Yeah. That's where most of them come from. That's where the biggest concentration of refugees throughout the world are. They also got us to do a couple of activities.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was about doing... you have 2 minutes to leave your home with your family, because you can hear gunfire coming through your village or town.
Yeah.
And you need to get out and you need to grab one item.
Mm, what do you grab?
What do you grab, yeah. And some people came away with nothing, because they're probably in so much of a panic, you're gone. They gave us sort of an environment. It was winter, cold, barren, or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that I grab, or a little sign I grab, was a coat, a warm coat, to head out into the cold. People talked about a medical kit, a blanket, money, some food, and then your documents. But then again, you've got to be that's probably some of that, getting your documents all in one place and grabbing them. But you've got to be in a position to, well, it's going to happen to us, sort of thing. Yeah. There may have been maybe the government suddenly had collapsed and there was a militia coming through all of a sudden.
So what do you grab?
Yeah, what do you actually grab and head out into the night and into the dark?
Yeah.
Yeah, to get away to save. That example was actually based on what happened to one refugee that came to New Zealand.
Yeah.
And the other activity was to do with food at a refugee camp, because they showed us they get a very small allocation of food from and it's not really sustainable, and it's the same. So we all stood in a line, and these people rushed around and we had these paper bags and rushed around and put this mixture of rice and whatever else in their bags. I was at the end of the line, so I got a lot. However, I was thinking to myself, well, that sounded rather ordered to me, and given what we've seen coming, particularly out of Palestine and the relief trucks, it's a maelstrom, isn't it, really,
of people not getting enough nutritional food.
They're fighting for survival, first in first.
Drinking foul water and
all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And me thinking, well, if you've got a disability or a child or you're ill, you're going to be trampled upon these people by the survival of the fittest stuff. So it was almost quite sanitised, really, what we were doing. In reality, it's not like that.
No, it'd be pretty brutal.
So, yeah, it was a new experience. It was something that I learnt something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they talk about refugees, and when they come to a country, they become former refugees. They use that label. And then now they're just citizens, but I just think that you got your name. That's who you are. You're not. Once you've left that refugee setup and a citizen, well, you're known by your name. You're not a former refugee. You're just known as A or B or C. With your name. So that was one thing that we did. That I did the week. That was on Thursday, and that was held at the. Now it's down Little London Street.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a trust building or something or other.
It wasn't so long ago that we doubled our refugee quota. Didn't we used to only take 750 refugees?
We take very little, really.
I think they doubled it to 1,500, I think.
We still, for our country...
It's a fraction, eh? But
yeah, they compared what we take to what Costa Rica, which is a country of the same population size, but smaller, they take a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we're a bit miserable as far as in that sort of stuff. The other one was called Climate Fresk.
Okay.
FRESK. It's a concept about to save our planet.
Oh yeah. I'm not the risk of sounding cynical. I keep hearing on the news there's various organisations trying to promote global warming and our response, and it seems that our elites are not listening.
And that's what the message you got from that on Wednesday, because that was hosted by Waimarie in Hamilton East.
Right.
And basically it's a concept that's come out of France, and it's what it started off with is they got these series of cards and they have various descriptions on it and a bit more information on the back, and it's saying the causes of climate change from... You really start with that. Basically, what the impact of humans on the environment, and what happens from there on. And there's various cards that tell you all sorts of things from permafrost reducing and the methane gas stuff, oceans rising, glaciers melting, increased warmth in the air, increased warmth in the water. acidification of the oceans, and so on and so on, and you get to these end results like famine, war, fighting for water, etc., etc. And you had to draw, put these cards in some sort of order, mm-hmm. as it flows on, and arrows leading from there and everything. But I think when you're doing it, there's so much interaction of these things. The arrows go all over the place.
Oh yes, yeah. It's all interconnected, right?
Yeah, all, and that's what it comes back. It comes really back to human activity.
Yeah,
what we do, deforestation, our building industry, agriculture is a main one, a major, and so on and so on. And what can we do to reduce or help turn the thing around? Because I think the fear is that by the turn of the next century, they don't want to be at that 3 degrees stuff.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be.
But of course, predominantly, all the poor countries are the ones who suffer the most.
Yeah.
And contribute less to the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're a high emitter.
Yeah.
This country because of our agricultural stuff.
But we seem to be going backwards on that. We seem to be hell bent on opening up new mines or whatever, or
yeah, all that sort of stuff.
That.
Yeah. So. So it's a concept to save our planet, and basically human activities have impacted on climatic changes. Human action should be able to turn this around. They talked about.
Attenborough said this years ago. Yeah. This is a human problem that requires a human solution.
Yeah, but there's.
But no one's listening. All the people who could make a difference aren't bothered. They're not.
It doesn't affect them.
No.
But as I say, if the world starts warming up, it goes. They've had this thing about setting of 1.5.
Yeah, degrees. That's getting really close. But you see, this week we've had record temperatures in Saudi Arabia during the Hajj,
and people have died.
Yep, and there's bodies lying all over the place. And then New York was up to 45, something like that. Greece was up to mid 40s.
There's fires in the United States as well.
Yep,
all to do with that.
And we don't seem well. There's a lot of people clamouring for change, but our elites aren't listening.
And they don't want to listen.
No. They're too busy in short-term material gain.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid our leaders currently fall into that same category.
Yeah, extracting the bloody agriculture and industry out of it. Yeah, I know.
Just goes on and on.
So as I say, I learnt some things as mm-hmm. well, yeah. Took the opportunities and just go on there, just take time of the advocacy role to do something a little bit different.
Yeah. Oh, but it would have been an interesting exercise, though, and it might have helped to try and crystallise in your head what all these interconnections.
Yeah, there were certain things, there's small things that people can do, like buy local, reduce your meat intake, could be another one, and that's like they were talking about around that agricultural industry stuff. It's our beef industry that's the biggest.
It's basically how we live.
It's how we live, yeah. And we've got to make those sort of changes.
Mm. Now, we need to have some coverage because that leads on to the recent merger between Foodstuffs and South Island, the big supermarket chain. Mm. They just mentioned a merger of some sort, and there's concerns about. Is there going to be any real competition? Because no one else can set up in competition. Mm. And foodstuffs, it's going up in price.
Yeah.
And you get told, you must eat 5 vegetables. And,
we don't do
but
that.
Yeah. They're horrendously expensive.
Yeah. And we people try and do these, because it comes back even to this sort of thing. People try and buy local. People have... you deal with community houses like we do.
Yeah.
Have veggie and fruit packs or every week. People have their own. There might be community orchards type set up, mm-hmm. But that's a seasonal thing. Community gardens where there's vegetables, but that's more that go across more than just the one season.
Yeah.
Buy local, they say. Less meat will help, and so on.
Oh, the farmers wouldn't be happy about that.
I don't care about them.
Yeah.
We were very ashamed. When I listened to what they were saying, it's kind of, and they gave you this sort of star diagram. It's got another name. How you felt at that point in time, and I felt I was actually angry because I went to school in the 70s, and we talked about this sort of stuff then.
Oh, it's not new.
No, it's not new. And basically, the interesting information that they provided goes back to some of those dates.
Yeah.
1960s, 1970s, pollution, DDT, and so on and so on and so on.
It's all being swept under the carpet by vested interests.
Yeah. And so so angry. As I say, we talked about it at school. We even did this. I think, and I've listened to the song again after over many, many years. A song called "Air" from Hair, mm-hmm. the rock opera that was done in the 60s.
Yeah,
and we even had that as our item for a particular concert for the Bay of Islands primary schools at the time. So, and then looking at textbooks and all these smoking stacks, people using DDT, and all that sort of nonsense.
As you say, I can remember Switzerland complaining back in the 60s that the amount of mountaineering gear that was left up in the mountains.
Yeah, so it's all this.
And tourist garbage, that people just dump stuff.
Yeah, it's just all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just.
As you say, they were talking about this 60, 70 years ago.
And that we've not done anything.
Not a thing.
And then when you think about our plastic regime that we have for our collections here, that we're collecting only 1, 2, and 5.
I know.
And then what do we do with the plastic? We send that to China or Vietnam or wherever. And we damn well should. We should be finding ways locally. How are we going to deal with it?
Because the packaging is the biggest problem.
Yeah. So why don't they chip it and bale it? And then do it and sort of store it better instead of having big piles of rubbish everywhere.
But the sheer volume, though, is staggering.
Yeah, that comes back to a human activity.
Yeah, because I used to get in some heated conversation about global warming. There's no such thing as global warming. All these variants in temperature are perfectly natural, I said. Yes, but for one little thing that you haven't mentioned, he goes, what's that? Human activity has exacerbated those natural events.
Yeah.
So we've got floods, fires, you name it.
Yeah. And humans have done, for example, the first one that came off the rack after human activity was deforestation.
Yeah.
And deforestation is not something that's happened in the 20th century. That's happened over centuries.
Yeah.
And I kind of remember from some of my history stuff that when to produce things like melted iron, or you know, iron ore to be melted, and we're going back centuries, they had to cut down a hell of a lot of trees to do that. See, deforestation.
Yeah, what about all the navies used to have, you know, ships?
Yeah.
Going back centuries.
Yeah.
The Romans, they were doing it, chopping down a whole forest to build their galleys and stuff like that.
Yeah. So it's a human activity and it's a flow-on effect.
Yeah.
But it's just in the last century or two, it's just exacerbated. And you can tell by the graphs that they go like that.
Yeah. They're now talking about the fact that it's now got past the point that replanting trees can compensate the effect of carbon dioxide. We've run out of space to plant enough trees to act as soak holes.
Yeah.
It's just insane. We're sort of committing suicide.
Yes, we're not looking after the planet. Yeah.
Basically, turn into one big toilet.
Yep, that's it. In a nutshell.
Yeah.
But before we carry on,
the almanac. Yep.
The almanac and today's date.
22nd.
22nd. I should have marked.
Yeah, we just got past the shortest day.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
That's encouraging.
Very much so.
An extra minute of daylight per day.
Per day, yes. On the 22nd, in 1908.
Wow.
The Red Flag incident, the opening move of the imperial government to crush the social movement, took place in Tokyo, Japan. Celebrated anarchist Kōkan Yamaguchi was released from prison and was met by crowds waving red flags adorned with anarchist, communist, and revolutionary slogans and singing communist songs. Police violently attacked and broke up the demonstration, arresting 14 prominent activists, who was later sentenced to lengthy terms in prison.
Sorry, you're going to say?
Yes. In 1941, the SISAC People's Liberation Partisan Detachment, the first Yugoslav partisan unit, was founded in response to the Nazi occupation of the country. Its 79 members were mostly Croats, which is quite surprising.
Yeah.
Although there was one Serbian woman, Nada Demic.
Yeah.
Today, June the 22nd is celebrated in Croatia as a public holiday called Anti-Fascist Struggle Day. I'm quite surprised that they were mainly Croats.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them were tied up with the other group.
The Iron, well, they used to call them the Iron Fist or the Iron Arrow or something, or...
Yeah, well, a rather nasty carry-on, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah. So we've got one more Saturday in June. 22nd.
Ah.
What else has happened? What have you got there?
Well, I've been struggling this week to try and find stuff because we've got some of the things in the newspaper we've already discussed, you know, we've touched on that. The cancer drugs, and Seymour is in front of a select committee about, because I think he's Minister of Pharmac or something, and he's made the claim, well, he said that the promise about the cancer drugs was a National Party policy or promise, not an act one. So it doesn't bode well. And this also this week they've seen people with disabilities in the workforce being told that can't get a pay rise because the previous government had promised to increase their hourly rate, and I think they're stuck on $2 an hour, which strikes me as almost like slave labour.
Yeah, it's a bit like prisoners doing jobs like that too.
Is it? Exploited, but and of course we've had a leader being overseas doing his Pacific tour of the islands and Japan, and doesn't bode well, no. And he's just come out of saying platitudes because everyone's been talking about the Putin and Kim Jong-un meeting. And then he's also been to Vietnam.
That's Putin, isn't it? He's going to be.
But, I know it's been a strange week, eh? And, yeah. But this did catch my eye, though, because it's kind of a bittersweet moment for me, because being ex-POM. Rishi Sunak is predicted to become the first sitting British Prime Minister to lose his seat at a general election. this is what's been forecast. This is what's been predicted by the pundits. And the Conservatives also on track to slump to just 53 seats, with around three quarters of the cabinet voted out. We're close for would be Liberal Democrats on about 50.
Yep.
But Labour's forecast to get 516 seats and a House of Commons majority of 382, which is double that won by Tony Blair in 97. And it's a little bit more good news. Things aren't going well for the Reform Party because Nigel Farage, his party, is predicted to get zero seats, means an eighth defeat in a row. But Sunak is predicted to lose his Richmond seat. Richmond is not far from where I used to live in London. And but of course, that's the good news. The bad news is that Sir Keir Starmer is forecast to become the next Prime Minister, and I really don't see him rocking the boat. It's going to be more of the same. Savanta, there must be a polling body, estimated voting intention is Labour on 44%, the Conservatives on 23%. Reform on 13, Lib Dems on 12, Greens on 4. See, the Greens don't do well in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Scottish National Party on 3% and Plaid Cymru from Wales on 1%.
They'll win their seats, though, like Wales and the Scottish National. What about in Northern Ireland?
No mention of that. No, which is surprising me because...
How popular are the unionists over there? Or they tie them to the Conservatives?
I think they tied him with a Conservative, same. And Ulster's pretty much they've since had a Sinn Féin, because the political part of the IRA is now in charge.
And all those unionists would be gnashing at it in their graves.
But in Ireland, like most places, and in the UK, it's all about immigration.
Yeah, because you got that Irish MP in the European Parliament.
Yeah, she got ousted.
Yeah.
There's been a couple more. But, of course, all the politicians keep banging on about immigration and how it's terrible that 30,000 got across the English Channel last year. But they keep saying, look at those 30,000. Meanwhile, 1.5 million got signed off and accepted.
Yeah.
Legal immigrants. But they keep banging on about illegal, and that's not the problem. It's legal immigrants.
And not solving the problem why they're coming.
Well, you've got people from Ukraine, you've got people from Hong Kong.
Yeah, all those places, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't look good for old Richie, does it?
No, I wouldn't worry too much about him. I mean, he's got an American green card, and I think he's got... Well, rumours are that he's got himself a job lined up in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And if he deemed... Even if he doesn't do that, he'll join Liz Truss and do the parliamentary speech-making circuit. So I wouldn't worry about him too much. And plus, his wife's well off, and of course there'll be ex-doms in America, and our tax will be fine.
Yeah, it'll be very fine there. Yes, you don't have to pay a high tax there.
No.
Yeah, but it did say here, and I just on the bottom of the piece of paper, I did see this on the news that those who they believe were responsible for the issues in New Caledonia, from the Kanak Socialist National Liberation Front have been arrested, causing that insurrection which resulted in the deaths of those people. So the French are again throwing their weight around in one of their territories.
Mm. Well, it's just modern day colonialism. They change the demographics and the locals don't get a say.
The other news this week, and it's continued until probably early this morning,
mm-hmm.
failing infrastructure.
Oh, yeah, the collapsing pylon.
Collapsing pylon. And
the ferry.
And the ferry and the schools at the top of the South Island. Yeah.
It's big as belief, doesn't it, really?
It just shows a lack of regular and consistent maintenance.
It's almost like, it seems to be actually over. I'll put it off until tomorrow. What you don't want to do today, put off until tomorrow. It'll be all right. It's lasted X number of years. It's not going to fall.
Just put a bit of paint over it, it'll cover the rot.
Yeah, but as those people found up in Auckland, there's no internet, no phones. I think people were being advised to stay off the roads.
No hot water.
No hot water.
Yeah, and so on and so on.
So this total reliance on electricity for everything we use.
Yeah.
It's a veritable Achilles heel, because that just gives you a demonstrate. Worst case scenario, electromagnetic pulse wipes out all your electronic gear. Everything grinds to halt. Everything gets burnt out.
And that pylon, and these are massive things.
Yeah.
You're standing next to them, that's going to take a lot of work to fix. Ooh, it's made out of metal, do you have to reassemble a new one? Can you use a bit of the old parts, which would probably be a cheapskate national idea?
But it's just this total reliance on electricity.
Yes, and that also comes back to this climate fresh thing. What about other forms of renewable energy?
Exactly. Why aren't we investing in alternatives?
Solar panels. They talked about solar panels.
Water turbines.
Yeah, water turbines. Wind turbines. Although there's a cost overrun in there because of the production of stainless steel to make them.
Plus they become obsolete too because of fatigue and everything. And then you have a problem of trying to get rid of the old...
Yeah,
that's what they had a problem in Germany, getting rid of they've got stockpiles of now obsolete wind turbines because of metal fatigue and all that sort of stuff and materials used. So, but we need to be investing more in research and development and alternative. I can remember the first oil crisis in 1973, the sudden clamouring for alternative means of creating energy or... alternative means of powering cars. But then when that slipped away again and everything was back to normal, all those ideas quietly got shelved.
Yes, usually at the bequest of the...
invested interests,
Oil industry, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but renewable energy.
And as someone said, that it's great having an idea of electric vehicles, but the sheer volume involved... and the extraction of all those minerals will be just as detrimental to the planet as fossil fuels.
I'm just going onto my smartphone. That's a bit of a oxymoron.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I want to find out about the ferry at sea.
Yeah, because that's right. Because there's something in the news this week. Kiwi Rail. Yeah, one of the. I think you mentioned before we came on air that one of the ferries had broken down and was adrift somewhere. But yeah. They were talking about the fact that these ferries' shelf life expectancy is rapidly running out.
Arateri.
Yeah.
And it basically saying, this is just headline stuff, troubled waters, a brief history of inter-island islanders' issues. It has been far from smooth sailing for the beleaguered ferries, and the government rejected a funding request to replace them.
And didn't you say before we came into the government saying that they've been lax in their maintenance?
This is a quote.
Yeah.
Quoted by Stuff. Transport Minister Simeon Brown, who we call something else,
yeah,
as recently as this week told a select committee the government was unimpressed with how Kiwi Rail has maintained the inter-island.
And he would know. He's an expert.
He's a so-called expert in this area.
Yeah. And that's someone's point. These ferries are getting past their shelf date.
Yeah,
they're old.
Basically, you can maintain, but
it comes to a point where
it has to be replaced.
Yeah.
Fully.
He and his cronies have caused this problem.
Yeah.
And so you imagine if businesses are trying to transport goods between the two islands.
So it's Arateri. The Cook Strait ferry ran aground in Picton last night with crew and passengers on board.
No injuries.
Thank goodness for that.
So they managed to get the thing started up again today?
Yeah, refloat plans for grounded into Ireland.
Oh, actually grounded.
Yeah, it's on grounded. It's like, it's a picture. Gee. I'll show you the picture there, Mick. It's like that.
Oh, right. I didn't realise it actually jammed up on them.
Yeah, it's jammed right there.
Right.
So it's the Arateri. And it has 47 people on board. So Arateri had run aground. And it's maintenance issues. And Brown can harp on about, Kiwi Rail didn't do much work around that. Well, the damn thing's old. It needs to be...
It can only do so much if it's getting the budget from the government's responsible for its budget.
Yep, if it was a visionary government, which we haven't got, and that's been...
Well, we did have one previous to this one. They were talking about investing in new ferries.
Yeah, with a contract with South Korea, but yeah. They pulled the plug on that because they were short-sighted.
Yeah.
So they're not visionary, so yeah.
So they're basically throwing everyone under the bus when things start going wrong.
Yeah.
Like the ferries or electric infrastructure.
Yeah, so that was due to a breakdown.
Yeah. But these are fairly monotonously regular, these breakdowns, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And I think
things are wearing out.
And they had a similar problem. Well, I don't know if it was that one.
The one that almost ran aground.
Yeah, but they got it restarted.
Yeah, but that's only by luck rather than...
So that was... It ran aground because it broke... engine stopped. Let's have a look. Oh,
that seems to be a common occurrence.
Engine or power issues,
But these were old when we got them.
I think they were second-hand.
Yeah.
I think that's what the story was. So Brown, I think he said blames...
Kiwi Rail
for poor maintenance of ferries. Which I think is very a cough-out.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. They've got to maintain these things without any...
But they can only do it if they've got the budget to do it.
Yeah. It's just a short sight. I suspect if anybody had, if this was a lot worse than just that, if it would happen during a storm and people lost their lives, a couple of ministers should have resigned over that. But I don't know
I don't think that those days are gone now when scandal forces someone to resign.
Okay.
Yeah, but it just seems very short sighted. And what's going to happen when these ferries do finally pack up? And people are expecting to transport goods to and from the two islands.
Yeah.
That's got an impact on production. They're already complaining that production's down over here in New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah, that was That whole ferry deal with South Korea was supposed to be a Kiwi.
It was a long term plan.
Yeah, long term plan with Kiwi Rail. Yeah. And the government were aware of it. The Labor government, yeah.
But they waste all that money just to get out of the contract now.
Yeah, short sighted. Yeah, you have to talk about that, eh? Really, pulling out of a contract. And when the thing, and how far were they into the contract? Quite a fair way.
Yeah, big chunk of money.
Yeah, and just wasted. How short-sighted is that?
And the danger is if they suddenly do change their mind, we want to build new. The company was involved in building, thinking, well, your last time you pulled out, so
yeah,
you know, they back off and say, well, maybe we're not interested.
I'd be interested because you know how. These ministers of the crown have called on their old mates from former ministers of the crown, the useless ones,
mm-hmm.
to do reports into certain things. I'd like to see what Sowry's report's going to be on into island ferries. Who's going to be blamed for that?
Oh, they'll be throwing people in for the bus for that one.
I wait with Sowry's report.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to wait for. Let's see who's going to be blamed.
Yeah, it'll be someone. It'll be a Kiwi Rail official somewhere along the line.
I wait Sowry's report and possible scapegoats.
Or possible, probable.
I'll just wait. I put possible at this stage.
Yeah.
Yes. Just pathetic. And I saw those talking about the infrastructure. I saw those schools on the top of the South Island. And I think one's to do with people with disability or youngsters with disability. One was a high school. I think it was Marlborough Boys, and the buildings were shoddy. And that's not something that's happened in the last 5 years.
This is decades in the making.
You give a building.
Well, I can remember this conversation years ago talking about the state of some of the schools, the infrastructure, the buildings.
Yeah,
they were talking about it 40 years ago.
They were talking about it in the under the previous key and under the key government. There were a hue and cry about the state of a primary school in Manurewa. And Northland College up in Kaikohe, having been in a poor state, and I think there was leaking buildings at the Manurewa Primary School.
Yeah, because I remember this being a news item years ago.
Yeah,
so leaking school, substandard school buildings, and damp and unsafe.
Just lack of maintenance.
Yeah.
No forward thinking. No consistency around budgeting, around maintenance of schools, and et cetera, et cetera. And the same applies to.
And of course, about the same time, it was exacerbated when we had a spate of school fires when arson.
Yeah. Schools were closed as well.
Yeah.
But then there was also that connects up with maintenance of hospital buildings.
Yeah.
So just short sighted nonsense. Just to save money so people can have either tax cuts or rent breaks or whatever they call rent rebate. No, we don't need those.
And you know what's going to happen. There'll be a change of government, say, in a few years' time, and the same government that was in last time will have the problem of trying to sort this mess out and be told that they're spending too much money.
Well, they're not spending it. Well, this current cloud...
They're going to borrow $14 billion for these damn tax cuts.
Yeah, so that's just a waste of money.
And it's also downright... what's the word I'm looking for? They claim the previous government was were prodigal, spending money willy-nilly, and now they're doing the same thing for...
Yeah.
At least the government, last government, was spending large sums of money. It was for a very good purpose.
Yeah, there was...
Keeping people healthy as much as possible and getting rid of cattle disease.
And that was caused by the previous government's lax around or...
Regulations, paperwork.
Regulations, getting rid of backroom workers and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the same principle.
And it's coming back again. It's we're going through the same cycle.
Yeah, just poor.
But obviously people don't connect the dots or are quite willing for this to carry on and seeing this cycle constantly being repeated. It's almost like a mass amnesia or something. You know, you're thinking, well, look, these guys did the same thing last time they're in power. Now they're doing the same thing again. Shortcuts, lack of regulation, and I just don't understand why it's continually repeated over and over.
I just don't know. We tend to be as a country rather short sighted and don't
sort of head in the sand, sort of head in the hole.
We tend to not take things seriously. I think we only look basically.
It's like a Band-Aid response to everything, isn't it?
People are so focused on self, on ego.
Yeah.
The only thing they worry about is when they go onto their Facebook and you see people walking around, they're looking this, and they're not worried about anybody else. We need to open our eyes to what's really going on.
Yeah.
And we don't. And these clowns like National and ACT and New Zealand First. Play the country for fools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were doing the same thing last time.
Oh, yeah.
It's repeatedly... Yeah. It's big as belief, eh? Yeah. You mentioned so far, I see there's a move afoot to review... There's a move to review the age of people you can have a cell phone to 16.
Mm.
And I think it's Australia and the US.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy, I'm not sure if it's which manager, I'm thinking it might be Simeon Brown. I might be wrong, but he's saying that they're not going to look at that. But six, it's having an age limit before you can have access to a phone. And people keep saying, talking about the rate of brain development in kids. You know,
depending on
gender, they all develop at different rates. And But no, it's...
They sound rather hypocritical, don't they? They say not to have cell phones in schools.
But then but not charter schools. They can still have cell phones. Why are there double standards?
There should be either one standard for all.
Would make it easier to police, surely.
Yeah, but they...
And they've already got the law in place, isn't it? They don't. It's not like they have to introduce new legislation.
Mm.
It's a matter of policing it.
Yeah. I did tell you something.
Then it reinforces the idea that some people are entitled.
Yeah.
We've got double standards. Sorry.
You know how you're not supposed to use cell phones while you're driving.
Oh.
Yeah.
How much? You're not supposed to use cell phones when you're on one of those electric scooters on the road. Well, I've seen that as well.
I saw this person. He was
insane.
I was actually walking, I think, and this person. Had a cell phone on his ear, having a conversation and driving. Driving his car.
Oh, I see it time and time again, eh? It's just...
Yeah, so I know that I think the rules around that should be stiff around that. The police catch you and you have a fine of X amount of dollars. It should be, whatever it is, it should be a lot more.
Oh, yeah, because the potential for disaster is horrendous.
Great, yeah.
And it's too late to say you're sorry when you've killed someone because you weren't paying due care and attention.
Yeah. I get this, what we call a questionnaire, your 2 cents worth. And they talked about, this one they talked about actually road safety, and they had all these questions you give your opinion on those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I'm quite stiff on punishments for people who drive while using one of these, or texting while driving, and I'm also stiff around bloody speed as well, because you know this current government are looking to reduce or do away with those restrictions around schools at low hours, around schools was 30K. They want to do that.
Oh, that's why they want to get rid of it
during off peak hours.
Yeah.
And
you mentioned trying to police that, because some people will just take that as an invitation to speed.
Yeah, and then there was this thing about an open road speed of, what is it, 110?
Yeah. 110, someone will do 120. Someone will do 130.
This is...
I'm more concerned about they should reduce the speed of those damn electric bikes, scooters on the footpath, because some of them travel at a great rate of knots.
Yeah, you're getting hit by one of those.
They weigh a bit, those scooters.
Yeah, somebody...
I've had a near miss where someone's brushed past me on my sleep as a shot pass on one of those damn scooters.
Yeah, there should be a speed restriction. It's a bit like...
But this is on the pavement, on the sidewalk.
Yeah, cyclists do the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Rude people. I think there was a fatality with one of those scooters.
Oh, there was a couple. I think it was earlier on in the week. They mentioned there's been a spate of deaths as a result of
e-scooters. Yeah, I think this person drove into a wall.
Once someone drove into a lamppost or something.
Yeah,
another case of not paying due care and attention.
Yeah. I'm leaning on.
I mean, I'm sorry, the kids. I'm sorry, the person's done, but some people take some crazy risks on those scooters. I saw one person, it was foggy the other day, and this person's dark clothing, no hazmat type visibility. Yeah. And you're thinking, you're taking a chance.
Taking a serious chance.
Because you've got no protection.
Because really, if you're on one of those things, it's but like those skateboards.
Skateboarders. I've seen those as well.
Some skateboarders will wear
knee pads,
elbow pads, and helmets. But a lot do not.
No,
and on scooters they don't either. And so if you come a cropper,
and you hit the tarmac,
you could seriously damage your knee. You could damage your head. You damage your elbow. You'll break something.
But they take some chances, though.
No, you should be kitted up in those sorts of things.
And they seem to rely on the motorists to keep an eye on them. While they shoot through and do their thing, they're totally oblivious to the road rules, and they just assume that the drivers in their cars will see me, say it's okay, and they absolve themselves any responsibility of how they behave on the road. But
yeah, it's on the footpath when they're coming from behind.
Oh yeah, you don't hear. I don't hear them.
No, not I. Sometimes you hear this little voice, excuse me, please.
Oh, it's pathetic, isn't it?
God. You have to laugh.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But when they get stroppy, I usually say, well, actually, I'm a pedestrian, I've got right away.
Yeah, you
but
have.
But it doesn't make a much impression. They just, it's my right.
I like to say, don't show me where that's written.
Exactly, it's assumed. Yeah.
And just changing a little bit of tack. Interestingly, there was an interesting article in the Hamilton Press this week.
Oh, did you get one?
Oh yeah, I'm one of. The, and I spoke to.
You're quite lucky. You seem to get it quite. Erratic.
I spoke to one of my clients. They get it too. So
yeah,
but it depends where you live.
Yeah,
And if there's an allocation of a slave to deliver them on
an exploited person.
Yeah, an exploited person, usually young. Talking about an asbestos adds cost to founders demolition, I should say.
Yeah.
Well, if everybody is very aware that they work is currently on to pull down the Founders Theatre, a building that's about 60 years old.
Yep.
Because it was poorly maintained. City councils over time, and now they're concerned because they found more higher than expected asbestos contamination.
Oh, I can imagine there'd be a lot of asbestos around all the plumbing and electrical conduits and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, they're saying that this means that demolition costs had a budget blowout of up to almost $1 million.
Dear oh dear.
Well, to my
way... It's been mishandled from day one, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm saying to me, well, they should have budgeted more for... Because given the building of its size, you would think, well, and given...
And its age, you'd think that the chances of asbestos being in that building would be pretty high.
Quite high concentration. So they probably, rather than being conservative with your budget, why wouldn't you be a little bit liberal with it and say, well, we could expect to have a higher concentration of asbestos in the building? They've quoted various people here, councillors.
Yeah.
Much to my disgust.
Yeah.
We're all pretty disappointed with where we have got to with this project. Committee chairperson Kish Naidoo-Roof said.
God.
Well, maybe if you had budgeted for it properly, you may not have had this overrun. Bider was clearly annoyed at current plans. The public are not going to get what council consulted on. Instead, we are left with grass and an old fountain. Oh, that's just being stupid. That's the commentary. And then Economic Development Committee Chairperson Wilson said spending of up to an extra $1 million on an already controversial decision is unhelpful. He suggested the council could have potentially done more investigation of asbestos risk before the project was signed off. Now, that's probably a fair comment to make, that last point.
Yeah,
because, as I say, time frames will tell you. Buildings built around that time, as we've
said, high concentration of asbestos.
Asbestos, yeah. And that's what you need to be thinking about. And to me, it should never have been pulled and it should have been looked after properly. Mm. End of story.
Oh, I see you got a blue leaflet.
Yes, we got one of these in our letterbox this week.
Yeah, so did I.
And it basically saying at the front to attract the reader's eye or discerning eye.
Or venom.
File, yeah. Getting back on track, Budget 2024 delivers tax relief, invests in frontline services, and stops wasteful spending. And then I hear,
how can they invest in frontline services when they're going through budget cuts?
They probably thought that I was a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, but one of the things he said was, oh, there won't be any impact on frontline services. But they're going through budget cuts.
Yeah, and that's what they were saying.
And numbers, people being sacked.
Yeah, or losing their jobs. But I like the last one, stops wasteful spending.
Really, well, that never ever happens.
Yeah, so wasteful spending to me was rent rebates for landlords that will cost the taxpayer.
Yeah, tax cuts.
Paying out our mates to do reports on things like McCulley, Sowry, English. Who was the other?
Oh, there's all those different commissions.
Yeah, there are all those reports on all sorts of things. How much money is that going to be? How much money is going to be spent on that?
And then you got the tax cuts, and then you got the subsidies that we're paying some of these people to live in their own properties in Wellington.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
But in the meantime, we don't think we're getting value for money, so we'll cut school dinners for 200,000 odd kids.
Yeah, we don't care.
Or don't pay disabled workers a reasonable wage.
The budget at a glance. This is a budget at a glance.
Really?
This budget is a critical step in our plans to rebuild the economy and get New Zealand back on the track.
Oh.
I saw a picture of a train that ran off the rails or somewhere near in the Bay of Plenty. And that's probably where New Zealand's heading in that direction.
Yeah.
Government spending increased massively in recent years, so we've gone through line by line to stop spending that isn't delivering results.
Oh, that's absolute dingo's kidneys.
We have found $23 billion in savings and revenue initiatives over the next 4 years.
Right.
This means we can responsibly fund tax relief while also ensuring a significant funding boost for central frontline services like health, education and police. By restoring discipline to government spending, we are on track to get the books back in surplus after years of deficits and overspends.
Oh, gee.
Under national, budgets aren't about how much is being spent, but what is being delivered for Kiwis.
That's BS.
Yeah, well, I think it is. I think it's just propaganda.
Yeah.
Because there was issues with nurses this week who are being trained, and uncertainty about where they'll be going. Police are looking at
going overseas.
Opportunities in Australia.
Yeah.
Where they're likely to get better pay
and conditions.
Yeah, and conditions and with their work. Restoring discipline to government spending. Well, I don't think they have.
They never do.
If you're looking at rent rebates again, if you're looking at paying out your mates and that whole good accommodation saga, that's not saving money. That to me is wasteful spending.
Despite the rhetoric, they're only looking after themselves, really.
Oh yeah, just like the Tories in England.
Yeah.
Just like the
Democrats and Republicans in America.
United States. Just like them anywhere.
Yeah.
That's why people have such low opinions, low faith, and don't want to participate in electoral processes because self-interest seems to be the order of the day for politicians.
And while I understand the attitude, by not participating, you're guaranteeing these other people get back in by default.
Yeah, it's hard to change people because on Navarra News I listened to yesterday, Aaron Bazzani spoke to at least two people who hadn't voted for years, and these weren't young people because they just didn't like Labour, didn't like the Tories, da 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 da.
I can understand the citizen, but I think people just voted the party vote. That's the most important, is the party vote.
But they don't have proportional representation in England, do they?
No, over here, but
yeah, we do here.
But it's just more of the same.
It hasn't delivered to a lot of people. They talk about these people getting tax cuts, but
everyone's getting a tax cut. It's just that some are doing better than others.
Yeah, and maybe that their friends, looking after their friends from Smugsville. Because I'm looking at these figures here for tax relief, and working couple each earning $55,000 a year, $102 per fortnight.
Extra in the pocket.
Yeah, or $51 a week.
What does it say for someone on about $30,000?
Anybody on $30,000, I don't see it.
Yeah. I think my tax cut will pretty equate to a Snickers bar or a packet of biscuits.
I don't like that at all.
And lots of people said that they didn't want that because they want rather the money went into things like schools, hospitals,
essential
infrastructures.
Infrastructure stuff, yeah. But no, we don't want to do that. We have got here in health and education $3.4 billion for hospital and specialty services and $2.12 billion for primary care and public health. Where does that go? $1.77 billion for Pharmac, so Kiwi can access medicines they rely on. $31.2 million to extend free breast.
Well, I take an exception about the medication for those who need it, because it goes back to the point we made earlier on, but Mr. Seymour is disputing that it was an election promise.
Yeah, well, it's got nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
In education, budget 2024 there's $1.48 billion to build new schools and upgrade existing ones. That's just not enough money for that. No.
And that's just purely propaganda.
Yeah, there should be. There's a few things that I would have dropped off, like tax relief and rent rebates, and there'd be other things that we should be looking at to help these sorts of figures. $1.48 billion to...
Over what time period?
Yeah, over what time period, exactly.
It's peanuts.
Yeah. And so on, because schools, there's a lot of schools...
Those figures are totally reliant on most of us paying our taxes like we should be doing.
Yeah.
As opposed to some of those individuals who don't pay all their taxes.
Their fair share of tax, yeah.
But those same individuals want us to pay for their roads. Smugsville.
Yeah, and not to maintain essential infrastructure. And we're having major problems now coming home to roost. And it's all happened, all been highlighted this week. It started with the schools in the top of the South Island, then we had the pylon blowing over it in Northland. Now we're having an inter-island ferry breaking down and running aground near Picton. And those are part of essential infrastructure.
Yep.
And yeah. Failing infrastructure, and it's not being looked after properly and not being budgeted properly either. And to make people scapegoats for it is not helpful.
No.
Okay, Mick.
We're out of time, aren't
we? We're out of time.
Oh, see you next week.
See you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.